You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
It's Friday, and typically the final segment of ABQ Connect means it's time for our Friday financial update. Today, Cole joins us from John Moore Associates. JohnMoore.com is the site to go to. We typically encourage you to go there because there's a free resource available to you, the Insights tab, that always has great information, searchable information on topics that are always relevant. And this past week, of course, Brian and I had talked about an upcoming webinar that has passed. And if you were unable to log in for that, there is an opportunity for you to go and check it out on the Insights tab at johnmoore.com. And Cole, I appreciate you joining us because that's exactly where we're headed. We're going to peek at some of the highlights from that webinar.
Yeah, Steve, it was really special getting to hear Joe and Pam Lemke talk through their own financial history and then how they've gotten to where they are today. So Joe's a longtime financial advisor here at JMA, and his lovely wife, Pam, who's definitely the better half, shared how she has kind of been his advisor and kind of coached him up on some of the personal finance stuff through their, you know, decades and decades of marriage that has now led to, you know, Joe in the financial industry. So it was really just a wonderful webinar, and I'd encourage everybody to, especially the married couples, to go give that a listen. It's about a half hour long.
Yeah, well, marriage and money, and if you've been married any length of time, you know, it's really one of those conversations that can really cause some friction if the communication isn't clear and open. And what are some takeaways from what folks may have missed when the webinar aired live? But again, it's available at johnmoore.com on the Insights tab.
Yeah, Steve, you touched on it. It's such a touchy subject for just about every married couple, whether they want to admit it or not. Finances is one of the leading causes of divorce, and maybe not to that extent, but an even greater cause of just general marital stress. So this is a valuable resource. And the biggest two key takeaways in listening to Joe and Pam speak, and number one was they're both from the Dakotas. They both grew up on family farms, so they had some overlap in shared childhood experience there. However, from a financial perspective, they had very different experiences with money. Now, neither one of them had excess or affluence as kids. However, Joe, his family was kind of the traditional, there's some topics we don't talk about in front of other people or even in front of the family, and money was one of those. So he never knew the inner workings of what was going on with mom and dad. Really, the only thing he ever heard about money was, no, we can't do that because we can't afford it. Pam, on the other side, on the other hand, had a family that was wide open with their communication, sitting around the dinner table, balancing the checkbook, having discussions about what are they saving for, how are they going to pay down that debt, what are they, what's the cash flow look like for the week. And so she was exposed from a very young age to really healthy financial communication. And then what that did, as you can imagine, is created very different, what we call financial personalities in adulthood when they ended up meeting. So Joe's background of kind of a scarcity mentality led to him being a bit of a saver, living a little bit more tight-fisted, not really wanting to spend because he had fear of not having enough. Pam, on the other hand, had a bit more of a spender mentality, and I'd say that she was a very thoughtful spender. She wasn't a frivolous spender. She was a thoughtful spender because she felt in control of her finances, and therefore she could be empowered to spend, particularly on relationships or experiences. So they came together, they fell in love, and what was interesting is that they are not unique in the sense that they have opposing financial personalities. So generally people fall into one of three categories: giver, saver, or spender. Now, both Joe and Pam are exceptionally generous and they share that giver side of their financial personalities, but their overriding personalities are opposites. One's a spender and one's a saver. And yet through their through their marriage and through their very intentional communication, they've been able to overcome that and actually use that as a positive and a benefit, because they've got this healthy tension of both sides of the pendulum working in a common direction.
So you touched on a couple of things that I think back to actually my own childhood and my parents, who I would say handled money well, but they were very tight-lipped. We didn't know things, specific things, really almost anything about the family's finances. And it was interesting. You shared the contrast between this, this husband and wife, and how one was raised compared to the other. It brings up the question to me, what is, and there's, it probably depends, it ebbs and flows. There's probably no black and white to this, but what is appropriate as far as family finances to share, or for kids to be aware of, and what might be something that, maybe you hold back on that until they're a little older.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a point where it's too young to hear about where the money is going. I think the kids are very perceptive, and having the discussions that are open and thoughtful and constructive and prayerful. That was a big takeaway from Joe and Pam, is that they invited God into all of their money conversations. And coming from the different backgrounds, one having kind of a surplus mentality and one having a scarcity mentality, they didn't always see eye to eye on their decisions, and they were open enough to let their own kids see some of these discussions, because they had some kids of their own. They even adopted some children of a late family member. And so they had big financial decisions to make, and they both worked and did well, but they juggled the same things that everybody else does. And that was an opportunity for them to kind of pull the veil back and let their kids see, hey, there's a trade-off here. We can only spend every dollar in one way, and we do want to be generous. So we want to send this many dollars to our giving. We want to have this much to pay down whatever debt they might have, which that's a great story, is that they had debt for a very short period, realized that they hated it, and then never had it again except for a mortgage. So I don't think there's ever a point where it's too young to have the open, honest conversation, so long as the conversations are constructive and productive.
And the other thing that occurred to me as you walked through that, Cole, was the giver, saver, spender. And as I, in the conversations we have, it seems almost taboo to be a spender. However, agree or disagree, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it. Done correctly, the correct balance of each is where you want to be.
Absolutely. I think our most successful client couples are ones with one spender and one saver. I think that contrast, that healthy tension between the two, is a really good thing, because if you have two savers, that can lead to them being very tight-fisted, kind of the hoarder mentality, the scarcity to even go out and experience things with their family, or even the inability to relinquish control and give to the causes that they really care about. So having someone who wants to spend and does it thoughtfully can actually be a huge blessing on a relationship.
And then, of course, the coming together and agreeing areas where to give and how healthy that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think listening to their process, and again, I'll let them speak for themselves if you want to go take a look at the webinar, but listening to their process of inviting God in, being prayerful with their decisions, whether it be spending decisions, saving decisions, which buckets or envelopes they were going to fill up for different future needs, and coming to agreement, which was not always easy, because they had very different backgrounds, different personalities, and therefore different priorities. They had to have intentional, repeated conversation that led to some kind of compromise in many cases. And that could be true of the giving or the spending or the saving, because you can only use every $1 in every, or one, every dollar in one way.
Yeah. And with the time we have, I'll leave this last point and give you opportunity to comment, but you know, we opened this with the reminder that often, you know, dealing with finances and marriage is a real point of contention, but done correctly. And I'm sure if people go to johnmoore.com and click on the Insights tab at no cost to go and watch this webinar that happened last week, that, you know, what they'll find is, just like any place in a Christian marriage, if you're spending time together in the Word of God, and if you're both, you know, the whole God's at the top and the whole triangle, and if you're both growing closer to Him, you're growing closer to one another. And I have to imagine these healthy conversations when it comes to finances do have that positive impact, especially when you're coming together and prayerfully considering how to manage the resources God has entrusted to us, that in honoring Him and doing that, they, you know, we do see marriages benefit from it.
Absolutely, Steve. It can be very unifying and galvanizing for a couple in a marriage. It can also be unifying with God when you get in alignment with His will and you're stewarding His assets, and making those decisions collectively as a couple can be a tremendous blessing to a marriage.
Yeah, and you know, I think our listeners know by now, but I'll say it to those who may be tuned in and like, wait a minute, there's a financial guy talking about God, you know, when it comes to money. A reminder that both Cole and Brian, who we've had on for our Friday financial update, are certified Kingdom advisors, as well as certified financial planners. But just a reminder, Cole, if you could articulate to the listener what differentiates a CKA from someone who may not have that.
Sure. A certified Kingdom advisor is someone who's gone through very intentional biblical financial training. So this has everything to do with the biblical concepts of stewardship and generosity, all the way into you know, faith-based investing and trying to create a financial plan that aligns with people of faith, with their value, with the Christian worldview. And that can be a little bit challenging in the financial world, but that's what the CKA is designed to do.
Well, listen, Cole, although we typically have Brian on, I want to thank you again for coming in. As a pinch hitter, I say you hit a home run. Well done.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Have a great weekend. And, hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope the content that you capture as you tune into ABQ Connect is something that's beneficial to you and your family. And we hope you have a great weekend. Join us again next week, daily, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.